This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at MissoulaChurch.com.
Well, if you're kind of new to us, over the last, probably months ago, we started a series on the life of David. And we've been talking about David, and then we kind of took a hiatus through the summer from talking about David. And I wanted to pick up today, if it's okay with you guys, and talk a little bit more about David and kind of get into the final steps of David's life. And I wish my iPad would work. There we go. Whew. Anyway, so I want to talk about David and pick up a little bit more in his life as we just kind of bring it down to the finale this morning on his life. And the next 2 weeks, we are just going to talk about this week and next week. We're going to talk about David and finish this series as we are heading into September and fall. Come on, right? Like, how many of you are ready for that? Some of you are not. Some of you are. I don't know where you fall yourself. Let's all get along today. I told my wife yesterday, I said, I just found myself kind of looking forward to fall. And then I rebuked myself, and because the winter's coming, and I hate that. So, but we've talked about the life of David. If you haven't had the opportunity to catch up, that's okay. But you should go back at some point and just go through our online series and listen to some of these issues in David's life. And look, we can learn so much through this man of God. And we've looked about him. He was a hero of the faith, if you don't know anything about him biblically. In fact, let me just say it this way. David is actually mentioned in 62 different chapters in the Bible. He's mentioned in 62 different chapters in the Bible. He is actually referenced 1,118 times in the scriptures. So other than Jesus, he's probably the most mentioned person in all of scripture. This is how tells you how important this guy. His life was filled with faith. His life was filled with failures. And really, his life was filled with fulfillment. And we'll see throughout that if you look at his life. And so today, we're getting toward the end of David's life, his physical life. And next Sunday will be our finale in this series. So I hope you'll be here and you want to be a part of it. But in today's story, we're going to look at his life as he's entering his later years, and we're going to look at one of his most giant mistakes. One of the things that David, this mistake that he makes as he gets toward the end of his life. Now, scholars would tell us that David, in this particular point of scripture, he is about 65 years old at the time. And so David is more into his senior years of his life. And I thought about that this morning. I said, we here at CLC, we are a good mix of people. Like, we're a good mix of seniors and midlife people and young families and 20s and 30-somethings. And how many know that's the way the church should be, right? And it's a story, but this is a story today when we look at David's life that's beyond all of our ages and it's beyond all of our stages of life. About people that are dealing with issues that we all deal with, no matter what, how young or how old you are. So we're looking at 2 Samuel. If you have your Bibles, if not, it'll be on the screen with you. But 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 2, and this is how it launches off in this story. So the king said to Joab and the army commanders with him, "Go throughout the tribes of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, and enroll the fighting men so that I may know how many there are." So he's asking them to go out. We're going to count all the men and all the armies in all of Israel. Now, why is David doing this? There's a lot of questions and that scholars have to why David is choosing to take this action in this stage of his life. Many think it's because of the turmoil that David has been going through throughout his life, where he cheated on his wife, where he had that lady's husband killed, where his son revolts against him, where two of his sons ended up dead. And he's at this place of life where life has been a little chaotic for him at times. And he might be having this moment where he's at the end of his life and he's thinking to himself, I just need to know how strong I really am. Like, I just need to see how big we are. I just need to see how healthy my kingdom is. Like, he's putting his hope somewhere else. Other scholars think that it might have been that another army is about to invade Israel, and he wants to make sure that he has the soldiers to combat that army that's coming his way. But we're going to realize something, that David does something that dishonors the Lord. And I want to show it to you. Verse 3. But Joab replied to the king, May the Lord your God multiply the troops 100 times over, and may the eyes of my Lord the king see it. But why does my Lord the king want to do such a thing? So here's Joab. He's the second in command, right there next to David, and he challenges him. He's like, "Hey, this is not what we're supposed to do. Like, we're not supposed to count our armies when things start to come against us. Like, we're not supposed to count our strength when something seems to be coming against us." Joab is basically saying to him, "Hey, David, there's a better way." And David did not listen to the people around him. He's at this stage in his life where he doesn't want to listen to the advisors and the people around him, which, by the way, can I say this to you with all love? Be very careful that you don't get yourself to a place where nobody can speak into your life. Be very careful with that. Like, sometimes we get to this place where we think, "Well, I know better than everybody else." Or we get to this place where I'm right, they're wrong. Or where my way is the correct way. Come on, some of my seniors, I love you. But if anybody knows better than anybody, it was David. Because he's known throughout the Bible, what? As a man after God's own heart. Yet David was not teachable in the later years of his life. And it ended up causing him a massive, massive failure. I want you to see what happens, starting in verse 4. The king's word, however, overruled Joab and the army commanders, so they left the presence of the king to enroll the fighting men of Israel. Now, you've got to understand this. It would take them, once they left King David, it would take them about 9.5 months for Joab to go throughout the kingdom to count all the fighting men and report back to him. 9.5 months. Verse 9, I'm jumping down to verse 9. So Joab, get this, reported the number of the fighting men to the king. In Israel, he says, there's 800,000 able-bodied men who could handle a sword. And in Judah, there are 500,000. So look at this. Then he goes to verse 10 after that. After this report was given to him, David was conscience stricken. Like, you would think that David would be, "Wow, that's amazing. Look at all this stuff that I've got. Nobody's going to touch me. We're overflowing." Like, but David knew something in that moment, that he had dishonored God. By the way, this is something we all do in different times in our lives that dishonors God, and it sets you and I up for massive failure. I'll show it to you. It says after this, after he had counted the fighting men, he said to the Lord, "I have sinned greatly in what I have done. Now, Lord, I beg you, take away the guilt of your servant. I have done a very foolish thing." He counted the armies. He went against what God had called him to do. He dishonored him. And the result of this one act, this oath of disobedience, this result of dishonoring, caused a plague to come against the people of Israel. And 70,000 people died because of one act of David. It was one of David's greatest failures that happened later in his life when he should have known better. When he should have known better. I want you to lean into me today, church, real carefully. It's probably the failure that lures you and I in, that if we're not careful, can easily take us out. And I want to get to you today the theme, the idea of today from David's life. And it's simply this. In this 2025 year that we're living in and beyond, I want to encourage us with this idea of you and I staying God reliant. Staying God reliant. Like, it's learning that no matter how great life is or how tough life is, that you are a God reliant person. And David makes this massive error trying to find his reliance in himself. trying to find his reliance in people, trying to find his reliance in what he has, instead of finding reliance in the God who saved him, finding reliance in the God who rescued him, who called him, and the God who had carried him through time and time again, no matter what had come his way. And I want to encourage you this morning, we got to be careful that you do not grow up in your faith to a place where you think you don't need God anymore. To get so sure in your faith that you don't need God anymore. Do not think this morning that maturity means that I've got it all figured out and I don't need to go to God in desperation like I used to. Well, I met God once and that was a good thing, but I don't need to have that desperation anymore. I mean, I've already got God locked, sealed, delivered. He's in my heart. Check the box. I'm good. Be very careful that we don't get to a place where we think, I've already got it all. I don't need God anymore. Spiritual maturity. Actually, I want to get to this. Don't think that spiritual maturity thinks, hey, I've got this figured out. I've got it all put together. I wrote it down this way. As Christians, how many of you know we never outgrow reliance on God? We never outgrow reliance on God. Actually, can I tell you this? Spiritual maturity is the older and more deeper in faith you get, the more reliant on God you need to be. The deeper and more you go, the deeper and stronger you get in faith. Guess what? It doesn't ease your reliance. It makes it even more. Like spiritual maturity is the more I know I need to rely on God more than I ever have before. Hear me this morning. It's you and I saying, I have an outgrown reliance. I need more God now than I did back then. I need more God now, how many know, than I did yesterday. It's what reliance on God really is. It's actually the opposite of how you and I, how we raise children. Like we just dropped off our last kid at college. We had to go early. As many of you know, he's playing college football, and we had to drop him off early. So we lost time with him. And Kim would, and I would admit, he hasn't called as much as we'd like him to. But that's what we do. We raise our kids that to one day they no longer need us. Amen? Come on. It's a big deal. But even as my kids are older, but especially when they were younger, listen to me, they have never offered to pay for a meal when we went out to eat. And I'm frustrated with that. I got to be honest. You're like, come on. When they were 12 or 13, couldn't they at least offer to pay for the meal that day? Really? And we get to the end of the meal. My kids have never even faked pulling out their wallet. Right? They expect me to do it. And why? Because they're reliant on me. Like they understand that Kim and I brought them into the world. We raised them. But how many of you know those days will come to an end? Amen. Hopefully soon, right? And eventually, you want them to be on their own. And hopefully one day they're going to call me and say, Dad, I want to take you out to eat and I'll pay. Let it be, Lord, right? Let it be. Come on. Our goal, listen, as parents is to raise them up and launch them out. By the way, I just want to add this here. Some of you 20 and 30 year olds, you still don't even have your own Netflix accounts, right? I know some of you 20, 30-year-olds, you don't even have your own Amazon Prime accounts. You're using mom and dad's. And some of you are 40 and 50 and still on your parents' Verizon cell phone plan. Get off, all right? Get your own. But we live in a way of understanding that maturity in adulthood is you are no longer dependent upon your parents. But how many know faith is different? Faith is different. As Christians, you do not start in self-reliance and then grow to a place where you no longer need God. You actually have to grow in the fact of knowing that the God that saved me from my sins, the God that changed me, the God that helped me overcome my issue, as I grow in my faith, I need him more and more and more than I ever did before. I'm not self-reliant. Like, we haven't outgrown him. I need him more of him now than I ever have before. And so we have to become God-reliant people. And David started that way. Like, think about this. David wrote it this way early in life. Psalms 20, what did he say? Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. What happened? What happened in him? This is the very David that when the armies were attacking him early in his life, saying, I don't even trust in my own army, I trust in God. And yet something changed. David started in reliance totally on God. Everything I go through, I'm going to rely on him. But when something happened, something caused him to lapse in his trust. And he grew in a way when something happened in his life, he forgot. When something rocked his faith in his life, he forgot. And he changed. And I just wonder, maybe if there's somebody here today, or maybe there's somebody watching online, who at one point you relied on God for everything, but things have shifted, and you have started counting things in life that God never called you to count. You're counting things in life that God never called you to count. You've begun to rely on so many other things for your security, for your peace, for your assurance, and for your answers. And so you start counting your feelings. You start counting your bank account. You start counting your relationships and your friendships. Okay, if I've got this many, as long as I've got this many, I got these. I'm good. Some of you start counting your opinions. You're counting your 401k every day so that you feel secure. You're counting all the likes to decide if you are good enough. And hear me, the lie that we believe is that we have equated numbers with security. Well, if I just have the numbers, if my numbers just match up, you know, if I just have enough money, if I just have enough friends, if my health numbers just match up the right way, if my family is all put together and everything is right, then I am secure, then I am successful, and I can make it through life. And I just need you to know, in the kingdom of God, your success and security is not found in your numbers. In the kingdom of God, your success and your security is found in your surrender and your reliance on the God of the universe. That is it. And as long as God is for you, that's the only thing that matters when everything else comes your way, is that I am reliant on God. And as long as God is for you, how many of you know who can be against you? Who could be against you? It's about living a God-reliant life. Why? It's simply this, if you're taking notes, because I believe this: God's path to success is complete trust over self-sufficiency. Complete trust on him over yourself. And some of us have started to live a life with self-reliance, thinking, I can make it. I can do it. I've actually got some stuff going for me now in my life, so God must be approving of me. And my challenge from this message is this: we need to get back to true reliance on God, to get to a place of total submission to God. So quickly this morning, I want to give you two questions that we need to be asking ourselves. And I want to challenge you this morning with these two simple questions to determine, are you being God reliant? Here's the first question you need to ask yourself. Who is your source? Who is your source? Like, when David was confronted with an issue later in life, whether it was with his family issue, whether it was an issue his nation was facing, David thought, my source is in what I've built. My source is in how strong my army is. So let's just count them and reassure myself. And David forgot the source of all that he had was God. Remember the beginnings in David's life. Like, here he is, a shepherd boy who all he did was live behind the scenes, relying on his relationship with God. God recognized his heart in the midst of that. And what did he do? He promoted him to king over Israel. And then God guided his life for 15 years as King Saul tried to kill him, and he's running for his life. And God was his source during that time. And even in the midst of that, God was his source that eventually put David onto the throne. Then when obstacles came against him, God was his source that protected him. When his son tried to overthrow him and take over the kingdom, God was the source that brought him through all of it. And God had sustained David all these years. And when a trial comes his way, he forgot what is his source. He forgot about the source. Don't miss your source in this. Don't deceive yourself thinking that you are your source. That you are your source. Or let me just say this. Don't deceive yourself in thinking that the government is your source. Don't deceive yourself in thinking that your spouse is your source. Don't deceive yourself in thinking your education is your source. That your money or your job is your source. Or that your friends are your source. Hear me. Don't even be deceived to thinking that your church is your source. Like, I think we are the best church in Missoula. I'm just that biased, right? I think we're the best church in Missoula. I think we're the best church in the surrounding area. I'm just arrogant that way. But let me tell you, those things will let you down. They will let you, those things will come and those things will go. But there is really good news for you this morning. You don't start this journey. You didn't start this journey in your life. Your spouse didn't start this journey. Your parents didn't start this journey in your life. Your friends did not start this journey in your life. It was all God who was faithful to start this work in your life. He's faithful to start this work. He is the source that started it. He's the source that will sustain it. And how many know he will be the source that will finish it in your life? Do not be deceived in thinking this. It was all God from the beginning. Remember who your source is. And let me just tell you this. His name is Jesus Christ. When David at 65 years old, he should have had that moment and said, oh, wait, I remember. I'm not here to count my armies and see if there's security in that and how great I am. I need to get back to how great God is. That he was my source, that he's the one that provided, that he's the one that protected, he's the one that rescued me. He's the source of everything I have and everything that's been done for me. He's the source of all things. And here's what you need to understand, simply on the screen this morning. The reality that God started the work in us, how many of you know should give us confidence? It should give you confidence that he will also carry it through to completion. He's just that good of a source. God's your source. When God is your source, then you don't mind it when things around you get chaotic. When God is your source, it doesn't matter what happened, good thing or bad things happen around you. Or when God is your source, it doesn't matter that you're not producing in a way that you think that you should be producing. Right? When the job fails, you can say, that's okay. God's my source. When your wife's being a little crazy, yours, not mine, yours, all right? It's okay. She's not your source. When your kids are a little out of whack, it's okay. They're not your source. Like, right, when your finances are tight, that's okay. Contrary to what the world's told you, how many know your finances are not your source? They're not your source. Your health may have been off. It's okay. You know why? Because I know a source. The church, well, they did this to me. The church, they messed up. They made me mad. Well, you know what? I didn't know the church was your source. I didn't know it was your source. That's why I struggle sometimes to understand people who leave a church because of what we call church hurt. My question to those who do that is simply this. What was your source? What was your source? You know why the church can't hurt you? You know why the church can hurt you? Because it's filled with people, right? And we are all broken, and we are not perfect, and we all need a perfect source. We all need a perfect source, right? And thank God we have a source here at CLC that's bigger and better than we are. Thank God for that. And David knew this, right? He knew this earlier in his life. In fact, he even wrote this amazing prayer in his life. Look what he says. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Notice earlier in life, he didn't fill in the blank here and say, my help comes from the size of my military. My help comes from the Lord. It does not come from your 401k. It does not come from those who like you, that everyone likes you. It does not come from the fact that you have a house, two cars, 2.5 kids, and a dog. That's the American way, right? It doesn't come from those things. Where does it come from? Your and my help comes from the Lord. He is the source. Let me tell you, when you recognize that God is your source, it's at that moment that you will realize that no matter what goes on around you, you can get through it because God is your source. Let me give you a nugget this morning. It'll be on the screen if you just want to walk away some. Man, at the top level, our level of God reliance is shown in how quickly we go to God in prayer as our source.
That is right.
As our source. Let me just encourage you this. Do you stress out? Or do you pray about it? It shows your source. Do you strategize or do you pray? It shows your source. Like do you look to yourself or do you pray? It shows your source. Do you go to your friends or do you pray? It shows your source. Here's some of you in here. Do you go to ChatGPT or do you go to your source? Or do you pray? Here's one for you. Do you make pros and cons lists or do you pray? It shows your source. Like, do you go with your gut or your feelings or do you pray? It shows your source. And the goal in life is that you will recognize that God is your source, that God started this, and because he's in my life, I will stay reliant on him. That's all I need. And as I'm relying on him, when things come my way, I go to the God of the universe who is able to handle all things that I face. And I want to encourage you with the simplicity of this today. Write this down. Take a picture. Make it your motivation today. Put it on your bathroom mirror. It's just simply this. Proclaim this wherever you go. God is my source. God is my source. Keep it somewhere. Remind yourself all the time, God is my source. He's everything. I love the way Charles Spurgeon wrote it. He says it this way, get this. The Christian life should be one of constant reliance upon God. For apart from him, we are nothing. With your life, do you have a constant reliance on God? Because how many of you know this statement is so contrary to what the culture tells us today?
Amen.
So contrary. The culture today tells you this. You're so amazing. I love what the culture tells you today. You know what? You're perfect. Just do you. I love this one the culture tells you today. Come on. Every young person's raised with this. You're special. You're not special. There's nothing special about you. How many know you're flawed? But that's what the culture would love to tell you. And you know what we are? We're simply this. We are nothing apart from Jesus. We are nothing apart from. And as great as we are with everything in our lives, we have nothing if God is not the source. You can have it all, and you're nothing if God is not the source. Let me just say this. Be very, very careful, church. Not to start counting things that God has told you not to count. Be very careful that you're not counting things that you are thinking, these are my source. Because how many know God's our source? Let me get a second question. It's simply this. If we're going to know if we're God being God reliant, let me ask you this question. What brings you strength? You want to know if you're God reliant? What brings you strength today? When life is hard, and how many know it will be? When you go through difficult times, when you face defeat, when you mess up, when you feel tired and weary, what brings you strength? And what we see in David's story at 65 years old is he's probably not at a place where he thought he would be at. Come on, we've all been there. At a place like, I didn't know this would be my lot in life. Why am I facing this? Like, he's had all these issues, and things were supposed to be great when he took the throne. Things are supposed to be great when he took over the kingdoms, when he united the kingdoms. They're supposed to be great. When he expanded God's kingdom, it's supposed to be great. And he's probably looking at his life a little depressed and thinking, this isn't how I planned it. And sometimes we get there in life thinking, I never thought I would deal with the things that I'm dealing with. And as David is dealing with these issues, he's trying to think to himself, okay, I'm going through these things. Okay, what do I still got going for me? Looking at the pros, right? What do I still got going for me? Let me count my military. That'll surely tell me everything's okay. Like if I count my military, it will validate me. If I count these things and I get a good report, guess what it'll do? It'll bring security into my life. Here's the thing. David was trying to distract from the real issues in his life. And let's just be real this morning. So do we. David is trying to distract from the issues that he should have dealt with. And let's be real this morning. So do we. And ultimately, he's trying to find his strength in things that God never told him to find his strength in. And I'll just be transparent. We do it as pastors all the time. We just do it. It's in weird ways. Like we ask each other all the time, pastors, how many attend your church? How many staff do you have on your staff? How big is your building? Do you owe money on your building? Like we're thinking, well, that's where our strength is at. That's what validates us, and that's what secures us. And I'm challenged in this. As I'm reading this and putting this together, I'm asking myself, Heath, how do I make sure in my life that I never get to a place where I go, I've got it figured out? That I never get to a place where I'm saying, well, let me find my strength in all the other things. Here's how you do it. You realize the one thing that David was missing in this moment. You want to know how we keep ourselves focused on God as our strength and nothing else? It's one simple word. You know what it is? It's simply called humility. Just simply humility. How many know humility, that you and I can grow in our faith and not grow in pride at the same time? We see this in the church world today. Listen, church, I'll be straight with you. The amount of leaders, church pastors, who just get bigger than themselves, who get bigger than who God is. And they start to get to right here, well, I'm growing in my faith, God is blessing me, but at the same time, my pride is keeping up with it. And you start to recognize this because you start saying things like this, Christians, I know what God's going to do. I don't need to ask him anymore, I know what he's going to do. We start to say things like this, listen, and it's true, I don't need to pray. I don't need to pray because I know how God feels about this issue. I don't need to ask God because I already know what he's going to say. Or we start to make statements like, well, I've seen this before. I've experienced this before. I've literally had people come up to me and say to me, hey, Pastor, when you started that message, I tuned you out because I've already heard that before. They've said that to me after I punched them and they got up off the floor. No, seriously. They've said, I've already heard that before. I've got that. That's what happens to us when we get to that mentality where I've seen that, been there, done that all before. Hear me, church. I just wonder, what would happen like if we were on the edge of our seats with anticipation of what God will do next? Like, what if we came into this house on the edge of our seats like, what's going to happen today? Instead of coming in and saying, I wonder what song they're going to sing today. Wonder if I like it. Wonder if pastor's going to preach a good message, or is he going to be too long? Is he going to be too short? Or what's it going to be? Wonder what's for lunch today. Like, what if we came into the house the same way we show up at a Grizz game? The edge of our seats, what's going to happen today? Maybe we will win today. Maybe God will win today. What would happen if we had that type of anticipation? The Bible tells us this way, right? It says in Proverbs, pride goes before destruction. A haughty spirit before a fall. And that's what happened in David's life, because as David is sitting there trying to figure out what he has going for him, he's like, oh, wait. I've got 1.3 million people that can fight. Man, I'm strong. Look at what we've built. And he's saying that to himself, and the whole time God in heaven's like, okay, that's where you find your strength? Boom, plague comes. A plague comes, 70,000 people die because the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. How many know that? 70,000 people die. And listen, we have to be aware of what we think brings us strength outside of God. Because if that's the thing you go to all the time in your life, God will remove it from you that quickly. That thing that you think is your strength. Simply because God wants to be your strength. I wrote down this way, spiritual strength is developed through the practice of humility. It's basically saying, God, I don't have enough. God, I don't have it all together. God, I don't have a big enough army. God, I don't have enough numbers. God, none of that matters. I need you. I need you. And David should have had this moment where he leaned in and he said, God, I know I got this kingdom and I know I got these armies and I know I've got all these issues, and yet still in the face of it, God, I need you. And the crazy thing is, that's what David would have done throughout his whole life. When we look at the series of David, his whole life is about turning to God, going to God. His whole life is about repentance. And he had these moments where things were falling apart. And you know what he would do? He would run to the Lord. And he did it his whole life up to this one point in time. And in those moments, guess what? He would always find strength in the Lord. But something happened when he got older where he stopped getting desperate for God. And he began to look to himself. Can I just say this? Let us not become such a spiritually mature church that we stop getting desperate for God. We need desperation. We need to be desperate for God, a move of God. Don't let us get to a place where we stop getting desperate for God, that we would stop humbling ourselves before the Lord. And let us be a church that cries out, without you, God, I am nothing. Let us be a church that cries out, but God, with you, all things are possible. With you as my source and you as my strength, we can accomplish all things. Let us be a place that is so God-reliant because we have him as our strength. When everything else falls apart, he's still God. When we're angry and when we're mad and when things don't go our way, it doesn't matter because you know what? He's still the source and he's still the strength and he is still God. When everything else falls apart. That's why Paul wrote it in Ephesians when he says, finally, what? Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. You need a strength today? You know where you find it? In the Lord. You need strength in your marriage, in your finances, in your life, in your countenance, in your health. You don't find it in anything else but in the Lord. But how many know, in order to find that strength, it's going to take some humility. It's going to take you saying, it's not me. It's not my way. It's simply you and I saying, in spite of it all, I still believe in you, God. It's going to take James 4:10, where it says, humble yourselves before the Lord. Humble yourselves before the Lord. And guess what he'll do? He'll lift you up. He'll lift you up. I was a decent wrestler in high school. That was kind of my sport. And in wrestling, even when I coached, there's a lot of things that goes with it. But at the core of it all, there are two rules for wrestling. And the rules are simply this. Number one, stay low. The first rule is stay low, right? How many know when you're low, it's hard to get you down? When you're low, it's hard to take you down. It's hard to be defeated when you're low. And the lower you get, the more leverage you have, and the more you're able to stand. And the second rule is really pretty simple. Stay off your back. Stay off your back. How many know it's the same with the kingdom of God? Whoever's the lowest always wins. And you know what? When you're humble and you're low, God keeps you off your back. God keeps you off your back. It's about no matter who you are or what you've done, God still gets all the glory, right? I say this all the time. I've said it from this pulpit before, but it's rocked me that you and I, no matter what we accomplish, no matter what we do throughout the day, no matter how high or how low you are, what you've accomplished or how great you think you are in this world, you and I are nothing but servants. At the end of the day, when it's all said and done, you know where we go? We return to the servants' quarters, because nobody sleeps in the palace but the king. And you and I aren't the king. We're just servants. We just humble ourselves. It's I'm nothing and he's everything. In fact, a pastor told me once, I thought it was amazing. He just simply said this: a man that is on his face can't fall from that position. A man that's on his face can't fall from that position. So I'm just saying to us, CLC, this morning, can we just stay low? Can we stay low? Can we stay reliant on the Lord? Let's don't get too casual. Let's don't get too casual. Let's continue to pursue him. Man, let's continue to pray. Let's continue to open the word of God daily. Let's continue to worship him. Let's continue to serve him. Let's be reliant on God. The story goes that as the plague is going over Israel, 7,000 men are dying. And David cries out to the Lord. And he cries out to God and says, God, let it happen to me. Don't let me be the one that takes all this. And don't let it happen to them. But ultimately, I love this about David. You know what he knows? He knows the solution. And the solution is the same solution that you and I have, the same solution that he had then. The solution to our self-reliance has been the same throughout all of scriptures. And the solution to our self-reliance is this simple word called sacrifice. Sacrifice. So the Bible tells us that David, what David does. And he goes to this man named Arauna. This man owns a threshing floor on the top of a mountain. And I'm going to show it to you in just a moment. But David's in the city of Jerusalem. But on the top of this mountain is a threshing floor. And this is where they would have the wheat all laid out, and they would hit the wheat and into the air, and they would bang it, as you've probably seen before. And as the wind would catch it, and the heavier part of the wheat would stop and fall on the ground. And this was the good stuff, the stuff they wanted to do. And this was called the threshing floor. In fact, I actually have a picture of it here today. It'll be on the screen. This is the idea, and you can't really see it in this picture, but this is the city of David, and up on the top of the hill here, you kind of, the picture kind of cuts it off, but there's this mountain where Arauna's threshing floor would be. On the top up there, the top, was this mountain, and it was called Arauna's threshing floor. And David's thinking to him, I've got to build a place of sacrifice to the Lord. And so he goes to Arauna and he says, hey, I want to purchase this threshing floor. And Arauna responds to him and says, no, I'll give it to you for free. You can have it. And this threshing floor, David thought was so significant. I'm going to show you why in a minute, but he thought it was so significant. He says to him, no, I'm going to purchase it. And scholars would tell us that David would purchase that threshing floor, that mountaintop, for roughly today, $400. For $400. Like, he got a good real estate deal on this. David bought, hear me, what is the most contested piece of land in all of the globe for $400. Why does this mountain matter? You know why this mountain is significant? It's right outside the city of David, right outside Jerusalem. This same mountain, because a couple thousand years before this, this is the mountain that Abraham would lead his son Isaac up to. The same mountain where God said, Abraham, I want you to take your only son, and I want you to take him to this mountaintop, and I want you to sacrifice him for me. It's the same mountain where he climbed with his son to sacrifice him, where his son would say to him, Dad, we have everything else. Where's the sacrifice? And Abraham would say to his son Isaac, God will supply. God will supply. It's the same mountain where Abraham would lay his son on an altar as a picture of what Jesus would eventually do for us. And as Abraham was submitted to God and he started to sacrifice his son, it's the same mountain where the angel of the Lord stepped in. where immediately God said, no, Abraham, I see that I'm your source and I see that I'm your strength. And God provided a ram in the thicket and God provided the sacrifice. That mountain, that threshing floor is called Mount Moriah. Now, a couple thousand years later, the plague is coming against God's people. And David, guess what? He knows where to go. He knows where to find a sacrifice. And he buys a piece of land and he builds an altar there. And the Bible says, as he built this altar, then at that moment, he was able to cry out to God and God stopped the plague. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture of what would happen. Because then that piece of property that he purchased, how many know, would be handed down to his son, Solomon. And that piece of property, that threshing floor at the top of the city of David, would become where they would build the Temple Mount, where the temple was built. And for hundreds of years, the sacrifices would be made for the sins of the people. But then comes the really good news, because that temple no longer exists. Why? Because it's not needed any longer. Because right outside that mountain, on another little hill, Jesus would go to the cross. And Jesus said, I will be the ultimate sacrifice forever, ever, and evermore. And now you and I can have this relationship with God. And not just any relationship, but a relationship where we can 100% rely on Him. Because now you and I can go to God when we need a source and when we need strength. We can go to God, and guess what we can find? Mercy and grace no matter what we're going through. We can find help and support no matter what you face and no matter what you walk through. Because God is your source, He is your strength, and He sacrificed it for you. Would you stand with me this morning? I want us, in our closing moments this morning, man, I just want us to have a repositioning in our hearts where we reposition ourselves to say, I want to be a God-reliant follower of Christ. I know many of us are stressed out, frustrated. Maybe you're just in a current season and it's just got you out of whack. Can I just encourage you this morning? The good news is you don't have to count anything else. The sacrifice has been paid for you. You can rely on God. How many of you know He is such a trustworthy source? We just have to humble ourselves like David did on Mount Moriah and say, cry out to God and just say, God, I need you. God, I need you. I need you in my life. I need you as my source. Don't let me lose focus. Don't let me lose heart. Don't let me be discouraged. No matter what I face, you, God, you are my source. You are my strength. And I can make it through all of it. My son, as I mentioned, I just close with this story. My son, as I mentioned, he's in the midst of what they call football camp. And he does call me and from time to time to vent and to walk through. And one of the things he said to me that really caught my attention, I said to him, son, are you eating? Are you doing? He's like, Dad, you don't understand. He goes, I have to cram food down my face. He said, I have to drink so much water. And the reason why is because they weigh them in before every practice. They have to weigh in before every practice. And the reality is, if they are 3 pounds down, they don't get to practice. So like before practice, he's like, good, 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 you know, putting on weight so he can practice. And he said the only reason that they make us weigh in before every practice is so that it can prevent injury and keep you strong. They're checking you. They want to make sure, like, you're not losing too much weight. That we want to keep you from injury and we want to keep you strong. And so guess what they're doing? They're counting his weight. And he's telling me this, and the Holy Spirit is speaking to my life, and said, that's what God is in your life. That's exactly what God is in your life. That's what submitting to Him does. That's what Him being your strength does. That's what Him being your source does. Guess what? It keeps you from injury, and it makes you strong. Keeps you from injury, and it makes you strong. When He is your source, when He is your strength, it keeps us from all the junk in the world. and it keeps us strong whenever we face the things of this world. Man, I just want to encourage us this morning. When you have things against you, church, don't count. Don't count your army. Don't see how strong you are. You know what you and I do? When the things are against us, we just throw up our hands and surrender. And we say, God, with you, I know all things are possible. All things are possible with you. God, with you, you're going to see me through all things that I face. So I rely on you, God, and nothing else. And I just want us this morning to renew our reliance on God. In a moment, we're just going to worship. And then during that worship time, can I encourage you to take a moment in the midst of your worship to just say these simple phrases to the Lord. Lord, I need you. I just need you today. I need you to be my source. I need you to be my strength. Lord, I've been counting the wrong things. And today, I just want to count on you. I just want to count on you. So Father, right now in the name of Jesus, would you move in this place? Lord, we all take a posture this morning that God, we need you. We need you. We need you as our source. We need you as our strength. That nothing is possible outside of you. And so, Lord, we count on you this morning. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's tell him how good he is this morning.
The earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. See all the earth. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. One more time we sing, all the earth, and all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing.
Favor today, maybe put your hand over your heart as I pray over you this morning. Just put your hand over your heart. Let's make this prayer together. Like, God, help us this morning to stay God reliant. Let us not grow to a place where we lose reliance on you, oh God. But may our hearts be committed to you, oh Lord. May we not look to the left, may we not look to the right, may we not look before us or behind us. But may we look to the heavens to where our help comes from. Some may trust in chariots and some may trust in horses, but we here at CLC, we trust in the name of our Lord. So Lord, today we realign ourselves to say, God, you're my source. You're my source. My heart belongs to you, O Lord. And even for those in the room today who maybe are facing situations where we've been counting the wrong things, looking for security, looking for hope, looking for answers. May God, we just turn to you today and say, God, I'm going to rely on you. The God who started this in me is the God that will see it through completion. We put our hope in you today. With our heads bowed, our eyes closed, I close with this last thing. If you're here this morning, and I want to give you this opportunity to respond. No one's looking around. This is between you and the Lord. But you would say to yourself, I've not been living a God-reliant life. My life has not been a God-reliant life. this is your opportunity real quick in the room. We're not going to embarrass you. It's between you and God right where you're sitting. But if you're here today and you say, listen, I need to say, God, here's my life. Here's my heart. I want to fully rely on you. I need a God to come and rescue me and be a part of my heart and live in my life. If you're here this morning, that's you, right where you're sitting, right where you're standing. Would you just put your hand up and put it back down again? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Come on. It's your opportunity before I pray. Hands everywhere. Lord, right now, we come before you. And Lord, we recognize and we proclaim our need for you. And if here in the room today and you just say, I need to live a God-reliant life, right there where you're standing, you just say, God, come into my life. I want to live for you. I want to follow you. I want you, Lord, to be my all. I don't want to look around and I don't want to count anything else but you. And that's if you're in the room today, that's you. All you have to do is say, Lord, come into my life. I want to rely on you for all my days. It's just that simple. So, Lord, I pray this prayer over your people, God, that you would go before us, that you would stand with us. God, even in the times where things are shaky and things seem to be out of our control, Lord, we would just look to you. Would we just rely on you today? Would we not lose heart like David did in that moment where he began to look to other things for security? Today, we at CLC proclaim that we look to you, O God, for all things. We rely on you, the author and the perfecter of our faith. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, come on, amen, amen. Come on, let's give it to the Lord today. Amen. Amen. Before you depart today, we have a prayer corner over here with some wonderful people, very friendly people that would love to pray with you. If you just need something discreet, quietly, confidential, you can walk over to that corner and they'd love to just have a moment to pray with you. If you need healing, something in your family, you just need a blessing, you need something, these people want to pray with you. Please go over there. Maybe you gave your heart to the Lord. This is your opportunity just to talk to somebody. So I'm going to do that. Can I encourage you to invite someone to church next week? It's going to be amazing. After church, we'll be having lunch together. And then don't forget to grab a snow cone on your way out, right? God loves you. We love you. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.